Palm Sunday, the arrival of the Messiah. We sang the first song about Jesus, the Messiah, so we will focus on that aspect of answering the question, who is Jesus? Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a gracious and loving God you are. You draw us ever back to you, even when we stumble. Even when we fall short, you draw us back and you say, be with me, be in fellowship with me. We are so grateful for that. Today we celebrate what you have done through Jesus, sending him to draw us back to you. We ask that you open our eyes and our ears, our hearts and our souls to take away from today's passage what you want each of us to learn and what you want to reveal to us as a congregation as well. And all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned, there's this large question of identity. Who is this Jesus? You must imagine that you're on the streets of Jerusalem and you've heard some things about Jesus as he's approaching Jerusalem, but you may have some questions, and if you're Jewish, you probably go back to what you've been taught about the coming Messiah, and the question is this Jesus that coming Messiah? Of course, we know that he is. The great thing about the Bible is that it's not an Old Testament and a New Testament disconnected from each other, they're intricately linked. In the Old Testament, we have Zechariah's prophecy of the future. Now, Zechariah is writing this. He gets a revelation from God about 520 BC. He writes this down, the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Imagine this very specific prophecy over 500 years before it actually came true. But it's very specific. It like gives us goosebumps when we read the Old Testament prophecies, and we see how the Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled through Jesus Christ. So we have the prophecies of the coming Messiah, and that helps us answer the question, who is this Jesus coming into Jerusalem? And as he comes in, there's a celebration because of his arrival, and we know it's because the Messiah is coming. God is reaching out towards us through Jesus Christ coming to Jerusalem and saying, I'm going to come to you people and bring you back to me. And this is the arrival of the Messiah. Just a little quick aside, we have four Gospels, and we also have Palm Sunday with palms. We don't have any palms for you this year, but the palm branches are only mentioned in the Gospel of John. The other three synoptic Gospels do not mention it. Let me just read this to you. John 12:12-13. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That has so much power and joy in that one phrase, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're waving their palm branches. So how thankful we are that we don't just have one Gospel. We have four. And each of the gospel writers have a different purpose for writing their gospel. John's gospel was to emphasize Christ's pre-existence. He lived before he came to this earth. So we're very grateful that there's not just one gospel, there's four. And because of that, we know, oh, they were waving palm branches that day. And as I said before, they're shouting out, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That's from Luke's gospel. Again, there's connections to the Old Testament. Psalm 118, 25 to 26. Save us, we pray, O Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And notice in Luke 19, 38, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. So if you're a young Jewish person, an older Jewish person, how are you going to process this information? How are you going to process this event of this Jesus coming into the city? And people process it through what they already know. They already know the Old Testament, and they burst out in praise, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're celebrating. There's one problem, though. The people in the crowd expect a military Messiah, someone who's going to come and liberate the Jews from Roman rule. Verse 13 of John 12 again. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You can imagine that they're waiting for him to have a military revolution. Even the king of Israel, they're identifying him as a king of Israel. And he is a king, he is a prophet, he is a priest, but not the kind of king that they're expecting. They're expecting a military ruler. They're looking back, in all likelihood, they're looking back on their own history. Just a little over, almost 200 years before, background information. The Jews have been beat up by big empires for century after century after century. And finally, in 161 BC, the Jews got their independence. It was against the remnant of the Greek Empire. A family by the name of Maccabees, if you look in some Bibles have 1st and 2nd Maccabees, and Protestants usually look at those books as not inspired, but informative and helpful. And in there, in 1st Maccabees, chapter 13, 51, it tells of the time that the Maccabees led a revolt against their oppressors. And this is the way it sounds. When Simon Maccabee drove Israel's enemies out of Jerusalem, people celebrated by what? Waving palm branches. So the people, you have this tradition. When the king comes, when we have liberation, we go out there in the streets and we wave palm branches and we celebrate. And this happened on the 23rd day of the second month in the 171st year. The Jews entered it with praise and palm branches, the very thing that we have on Palm Sunday when Christ comes in, and they had harps and cymbals and stringed instruments and with hymns and songs because a great enemy had been crushed and removed from Israel. So it's only natural that the Jews would be waving these palm branches expecting another military leader. Well, some in the crowd chose not to see Jesus at all. I call this the unseeing of the arrival of the Messiah. These religious leaders refused to recognize Jesus as the promised Messiah. They knew the Jewish scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, and yet they lacked the faith. They didn't connect the dots. They didn't see Jesus as a fulfillment of these Old Testament prophecies. From Luke 19:39, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher or Rabbi, rebuke your disciples. And of course, Jesus has that wonderful reply. I tell you, if these people were silent, the very stones themselves would cry out. Now, the religious leaders, we can kind of get down on them pretty easily for failing to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But we may have done the same things ourselves. The disciples, it took them a long time to catch on that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. Many of them didn't realize he was the Messiah until after his resurrection, which we will celebrate next Sunday on Easter Sunday. Let me read this from Mark 8:14-19. The disciples had been slow to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Now they had forgotten to bring bread. So this is when the disciples are traveling around with Jesus, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. So they're traveling by boat to the next destination. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Why are you discussing these mundane little details? There's more important things to focus on. Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember?" He's basically saying, don't sweat the small stuff. I'll take care of the small stuff. You need to know who I am. You know, what is our role as Christians? To know Christ in a personal relationship. And the disciples were not getting it. He was in the boat with them. And they're still not getting it. They're obsessed with, how are we going to get more bread? And he reminds them, do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 12 baskets. He's saying, we'll take care of the necessary details of life. Your job is to recognize who I am. I am the promised Messiah. This all leads us to this wonderful moment. I use the word wonderful because it should fill us with awe and wonder. The miraculous elements of Jesus. Yeah, he's walking around as a human being, and he takes care of all these mundane details. But he's also performing miracles, and the biggest miracle is that God sent himself to come to earth as Jesus to enable us to be reconciled to God, to restore that relationship. That relationship that we could never restore ourselves because we are flawed. But through Jesus, we can reestablish that connection to God. I've underlined a few things and bolded some stuff here as a way of identifying, what really seems to be going on. Let's take a look at this Zechariah 9:9 again. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is not the kind of king you're expecting. He's righteous, filled with God's righteousness, and having salvation through him is salvation. He's humble, unlike a military leader that shows his might. Jesus comes in humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is the Messiah. This is not the Messiah that you were expecting, that military leader. This is the way, the truth, and the life back to God." So to do a recap, what is Palm Sunday about? Well, we need to be aware of Christ's presence amongst us. We need to recognize that Jesus is, in fact, this promised Messiah. And then we have to take that awareness and that head knowledge and make a commitment to Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. And that message, I keep repeating that message a lot because it's the core of the gospel. Jesus as Savior. We need a Savior. We can't do it ourselves. We need to be saved from what? Our own sinfulness. We need a Lord to help guide us through life. And that's completely contrary to what the world tells us. You know, live your life the way you want to live it. And the Bible says, no, you need a Savior from your sins and you need a Lord of your life to guide you, because if God left it up to us, what are we going to do? We're going to screw it up. And he says, follow me and I will guide you. I have plans for you. Follow me. So we make a commitment to Jesus as Savior and Lord. This is emphasized by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. The opportunity and time for salvation is now. Paul's words. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We might become the righteousness of God under no ability of our own. For he says, behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And that's one of the many things that we celebrate on Palm Sunday and especially on Easter Sunday. Now is the time for salvation through Jesus Christ. May us never forget the miracle of God reaching out to us and sending Christ to draw us back to God, the holy, the infinite God. And let's finish with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to come to Jerusalem, to ride on the donkey, to catch people's attention. May he catch our attention, and may he continue to draw us in. When we wander off, when life gets in the way, when details get in the way, all these mundane details that we have to take care of, help draw us back to the important thing, the big picture, that Jesus came to die for us, for our sins, and make a way for us to be reconciled with you, God, and to live with you for all eternity. And all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.